Now, the nation is in mourning once again as the life of a young woman was tragically cut short in a brutal act of sexual violence. With this tragedy, the national discourse has once again turned to the safety of women in our society and what measures can be put in place to ensure that women can live their lives free from the fear of violence. But with the conversation too often turning to what it is women can do to protect themselves, are we asking the wrong questions and dishing out kind of bad advice? This morning, to find out more, we are this morning joined by Dr. Bianca Farborn. She's a lecturer in criminology from the School of Social Sciences at UNSW. Bianca, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
No problem.
Now, why do you think it is that when police kind of inevitably suggest that to stay safe and women must kind of keep aware of their surroundings and kind of keep aware of what's happening around them, why do you think that the onus is always put back on women?
Yeah, I think there's a few reasons. I mean, obviously these types of cases and preventing violence against women is a really huge, complex, long-term challenge. So I think providing this type of advice is really a quick fix. It seems really attractive that there's these, you know, really simple things that we can tell women to do that provide us with this sense, I think, a sense of control over our environment and this feeling of we've done something in response to that. So I think that's part of the attraction of providing this type of advice. I think another way of looking at it is that it's also perhaps unintentionally in some consequences a way of shifting responsibility back onto women for the violence that men perpetrate against them. So rather than asking, well, what is it about men who are perpetrating this violence and what do we need to be saying and doing with them to stop them from doing it, the response becomes, well, these are the things that you should or shouldn't be doing as women to avoid this type of violence. So it does also function, I think, as a form of victim blaming.
Absolutely. And then are there kind of, I assume there are some quite long-term implications this advice is having on society's attitudes and kind of perceptions of crime as well?
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, it definitely places a lot of responsibility back on women who experience these types of crime. So the question becomes, well, what were they doing? You know, what choices did they make at that particular day and time? And what should they have done differently? And I think that really distracts from those much more difficult discussions that we need to be having around the structural and cultural and social drivers of this violence.
Absolutely. Now, statistically, who is, I guess, most likely to commit sexual assault? Are we worrying about the right kinds of people here?
Yeah, it's a really difficult question to answer because we don't know who most offenders are. I mean, as I'm sure you're well aware, most sexual assaults aren't reported. When they are reported to the police, most of them don't go through the criminal justice system. So what we know about kind of known identified offenders isn't necessarily representative of the wider range of men who are actually engaging in this behaviour. Certainly there's been some international research with college students in the US where they've asked men whether they've engaged in certain behaviours that could constitute sexual violence, and the rates of men saying, yes, I've done these kinds of things, was around a quarter to a third of their sample, which probably suggests that it's a much wider, still a minority, but a much wider proportion of the population than we might like to think. But it is quite, like I said, quite difficult to know precisely who those men are if they're not, you know, detected and brought into the criminal justice system.
Absolutely. Now, before we spoke a little bit about kind of that culture of victim blaming that's being kind of perpetrated here, what do you think we can do to break this cycle, to prevent this kind of onus being put back on women? Is it something that needs to come in at a legislative level? Is it something that needs to come in at a social level? What are we doing to move forward here?
I think a social and cultural level. I'm not quite sure how we could legislate, for example, against, you know, the police not issuing this kind of advice. And there might be, you know, certain circumstances where it's perfectly legitimate to offer this type of advice, although I don't think that's the case, you know, most of the time. So really it's about shifting the focus about what questions are we asking about whose behaviour. And to me, that's really a much more of a social and cultural change. And, you know, this type of advice is really embedded in hundreds of years of women being held responsible, or the idea that there's only certain types of women who are sexually assaulted. Therefore, there are certain types of things that those women can change about themselves. Mm-hmm. And of course, we know that's actually not the case. Women are sexually assaulted regardless of what they're wearing, whether they've been drinking, how old they are, all of those kinds of things. So it's really the wrong focus. So again, we need to be shifting back to, well, how do we identify who might be likely to perpetrate? How might we intervene at earlier stages? And more importantly, how do we shift those much more deep-seated, you know, structural, power-based, cultural, social factors that actually drive offending in the first place?
Absolutely. We're up against centuries of toxic masculinity and patriarchy here. So it's gonna take a while, but it's conversations like these that need to be had, and it's the hard conversations that are gonna actually hopefully be catalysts for change. Dr. Farborn, unfortunately we're going to have to leave it there, but thanks so much for joining us this morning.
No problems. Thank you.
That was Dr. Bianca Farborn, their lecturer in criminology from the School of Social Sciences at UNSW, sharing her insights into how we can approach kind of brutal crimes against women with more nuance and kind of in a way that hopefully will change the conversation away from this victim blaming that we're seeing in society.